So now I know I am a very hostile territory, and I heard a lot about this place. Well, God specialized in difficult people, and I believe they can be saved, and a lot of people did come to Christ. And then we met a group of people called, and maybe I will not call them, it's my vision for Christ. It's a lot of Indian people, not Indian people, but colored people, have the same passion as many of us to see this community be saved. Drugs and gangsterism was on the order of the day. We have one service one Sunday evening in a garage. As a matter of fact, for a very long time, on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, we have two services on Sunday. And those colored people, man, they can play in that small little, I think it's a double garage. Your ears is just, man, it's so loud. And then the guys just with their cars up and down the roads, and they shoot in the air with their 38 specials. And man, it is the Wild West. It's wilder than the Wild West. And you have to duck and dive. Just make sure you're not at the wrong time and at the wrong place. And ask the Lord for protection. So I get to know these people, and then we go out during the week, during weekends or in the evening, go do open air services wherever we can. And one day they ask me if I want to, please, if I can have this, if somebody died, and if I can conduct this one evening, the funeral service. You know, like they do the whole week. Every night somebody else is preaching in the house and encourage and comfort and whatever is necessary. And I ask, what is the situation? Yes, the situation. They shot of her grandchildren dead. And when they pull the trigger to her, there's either no bullet in the chamber or that doesn't go off. And I said, you want me to preach for them? Oh, I was scared. I was scared. I asked my wife, please stay at home. I'm not going to take you with. And I asked the Lord, what do you want me to say to these people? It's gangsters. It is people that I can imagine if it was me, I want to take revenge. What must I do? Well, God sent me, and I stand there with much trembling. And as I sit there and say, Lord, okay, Lord, they do their thing, and now it's my turn. Oh, they don't want to hear what I have to say. As I look at them, some of them are so uncomfortable because the guns that they have is too big. It's just too big because they are, man, they are armed to the teeth. And I look at them and I say, Lord, oh, please don't let them shoot me tonight. You know, I come here alive and I want to go home alive, but if it is, must be, tonight's my last night, then I'm going to give them my best that I can. God, please help me. And I preach Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patience in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. What would you do if you hear this and you know it was your family that was being just gunned down? Maybe you said, okay, that was strike three. Boom. And shoot me now. Well, that's what I thought, they're going to do that. And I could see my message doesn't. I can see that you can see, you know, you can see what God is busy doing. It looks like I put petrol on the fire. And I want to know them. I want them to know. I don't know all the circumstances, what happens here. It's rather for me not to know. I might be guilty of something that I'm not supposed to know. And I talk. And I let God do the work. And I said my amen. Shah. Not one that night surrender their lives to God. And I stand there. And the mother of the house, I hear her sobbing. The ladies of that particular organization go and talk to her. Please, 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 please. Stop. When is the question? When is it going to stop? The question was, where does it start? It starts in a home many, many, many years ago. It starts in the home. Where does it end? Isn't it supposed to end at home? For some it ends in the grave. For some maybe in the prison. Does crime, does my son pay? And sometimes I think the prison is not hard enough. Because when some of them come, and I talk in general, come out worse than when they walk in there. And that auntie was crying and so I walk up to them as well, and the leader of this ministry that we was also there. And we talked to the auntie. All the bitterness, the hatred, the revenge is just bubbling out of her. I said, you could have been dead. Let's say there was a round in the chamber, and God prevented not to go off. Why? The patience of God, bear in mind, is for your salvation, auntie. God knows if he had your heart, he has your whole family. Because her husband is shot dead. Of hatred and bitterness and revenge. Does crime pay? Does my sin pay? Yes. Auntie, when will you stop? Time went out, we left that auntie never. Never make a surrender. We left. Not long after that, they drive with a car with the Uzi and just open up an automatic with the hope they shoot her dead. Well, she survived that. She's not been shot. And she take a hike. Left the place for a while. And she thought, well, the dust is settling. She go back. And they wait for her. Shot her right through the stomach. Into her spine, paralyzed down. Her half of her body downwards is paralyzed. Again, another service in her house. Will you do the service? Lord, what do you want me to say for them, Lord? I go there, they sit packed, same situation. I'm untouchable. I'm a God. He was the God of his own destruction. The auntie sat there in a wheelchair, halfway paralyzed. It was tough for me. Isaiah chapter 1. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. It looks like there are people born just for that. Today I was looking at a few video clips of the world's dangerous criminals, the world's dangerous prisons. Some of them, I look at South Africa, the world's dangerous inmates. It looks like there is people so dangerous, born dangerous, all in the heart, all in the heart. Children is given to it. Where do they get it? We groom them. We groom them. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on them. On him, sorry. Why? Here's the question. Listen to this. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? The auntie is shot in the stomach, through a spine. Paralyzed. Why? Not so long ago, if I can recall, God sent us with a message, auntie. Don't take revenge. Stop. If she could know that this is going to end, this is how it's going to end. You live by the gun, you're going to die by the gun. It is at that thing, it's just, you know, like a magnet pulling trouble to you. Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil, olive oil. Please, can you pray for her for healing? It's not so long, I pray for her salvation. Why should I pray for her healing? Because God came with us a message and said, why didn't you stop when I was talking to you the other day? Because I can see the future. I can see your destruction. You can't. But I sent messengers, not just me, many others, talking to you, knocking at your door. When will it end? Do you think time pay? Yes. Look at you now. Why do you force me to wound you so much, or to allow to wound you? It's your own sin that you brought upon yourself. But why didn't I stop it? Well, why should I? You see, we want to blame God now for everything. It's not His fault. And don't say there's no God, because if there was one, why did He allow this? Why don't you stop when He asked you to stop? When He knocked on your door to stop? And my door, and say, I give you my law. You're breaking my law. And you get away every time with it. And you think you lost nothing? You're about to lose your life. And you're about to lose eternal life that I so dearly want to give to you. Yes, crime pay. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of crime is death everlasting. But there's the other side of that flip coin, of that coin. But there's eternal life that comes to you and me through Jesus Christ. Is that eternal life? I look at Zacchaeus, offender, a sinner, a Jew. Yeah, Jew, part of the faith communion of the Jews, a senior master tax collector, wealthy, maybe get a good salary, but also by bribing people, knowing people, you know, money that goes under the table, you know, money talks. That's how we get rich, offending people. You don't care if you are a victim or not, as long as he can benefit from it, and you dare not say anything. You think Jesus didn't know him? I think Zacchaeus nearly fell out of the tree when Jesus stopped right there under that branch. And I can imagine he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Maybe he saw him, how that little, you know, I'd say it's like me, a little butt prop here, you know. You will not understand that one. You know that prop that you put in the bath? That's me. You see how he tried to get him. Maybe somebody helped him up in the tree, him too. And he crawled up like a chameleon up there. I want to see Jesus. This man, maybe he thought he's going to come with a chariot, you know. He didn't come like everybody expected him, lost in the crowds. I want to see him. Maybe he heard about him. Oh, people lost a lot. They lost their valuable things because he bribed them. He took in more than he was supposed to. Threatened them, maybe. People lost their safety. People lost their trust. Their dignity. I feel so depraved. I feel so downgraded. And what happened when Jesus walked into his life? You see, right there, when Jesus walked into his life, his crime stopped. Guilt come. Convict him. Yes, you are what the rest say, a sinner. Conviction gripped his heart. Lord, I give everything away. Jesus didn't even talk to him. He didn't say, you know, can you remember what you've done? Why did you do this? He didn't give him to the authorities. He knew exactly what Zacchaeus is. And I saw something of true repentance of, Lord, I will go and make restitution. The people I've hurt, I will go back, give back 4 times, Lord. He didn't go and check, do I have all the means of it? I know he knew exactly how much he had. And the Lord said, didn't reprimand him of nothing. It was okay with him. That's where his sin stopped. That's where his crime stopped. The moment when Jesus walked into this man's life. He's not on recovery because he's not sick. I listened to one man, an inmate who came to Christ in that particular ministry. He said, I was sick. You was not sick, sir. You was a sinner. Your sin has offended and break a lot of people and wound a lot of people. Now you are on your road to restoration. And out of that comes transformation, sir. But you was never sick. You are sick, sir. You need a doctor and a tablet and a band-aid. And they're going to keep you there in that condition. Because when you are sick, sir, you can't be delivered from your sickness. You can't, yeah, you can be healed from your sickness, sir. But that is only artificial. It's Christ that heals. And he heals the hearts. Because he takes that sinful heart and gives a new heart. That is what I see here. When Jesus walked in, a whole life has been transformed. And I sit here, if I can recap what I said. Isaiah 59 verse 8 says, God said, I love justice. In other words, he hates crime. He hates injustice. He's not pleased. You read Isaiah 59. He's not pleased that people being wounded and sinned against or offend against. He's not pleased with that. You read Micah 3, chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. Then you see how God rejects Israel's unjust judges. He has against you judges, you rulers of the nation. So, if I sum up and say, if you say, I want dinner with you, it's an offender. What does that meal signify or symbolize? If we, every day we sit in the lounge there and we enjoy meals together. I love sometimes to hear that song, come home, it's supper time. What does it mean? What does it mean when you invite me for a meal or I invite you for a meal or for a coffee or a tea? What does it mean? What do I want to say to you? Or what do you want to say to me? I want to have fellowship with you. I want to forgive you. I accept you. I want to restore your relationship. Can you remember the prodigal son when he come back after his wild living? Verse 17 says, Luke 15, he come to his senses. He come to his right mind. All depends what your translation. You see, if that doesn't happen, if that verse 17 doesn't happen, you can go as much as you want to the counseling. Because the penny didn't drop. The penny dropped for him, for Zacchaeus. Right there, when Jesus sat on table with him. It's as if he comes to his senses and know what is this all about. It's the end of my old ways. And when he ran, or he turned around away from the pigsty and he walked to his father, and the prodigal father waited and waited and waited every day, maybe today, maybe today. Oh, look at the father's heart. And when he saw, I think it's only a parent that can know the way of the way my children walk and know their voice. I know that walk. That's my son. That is my son at last. And he ran to him. The Bible says he ran to him. Remember, he stink like a pig. And I think, and on that run, you know, he slacked down a bit and just grab hold of him and kiss him. What is in a kiss? The same as what Jesus have here with Zacchaeus with a dinner. It's a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of action. I accept you. I've forgiven you. You are valuable. You are my son. Mine. I'm your father. I took ownership of you. You are mine. You are well loved. I love you. You don't have to perform. You don't have to be a perfectionist to have any approval of me. I accept you just as you are. But I'm not going to leave you as you are. I'm going to change you. Zacchaeus' life was changed. Just like the prodigal son's life has been changed. The end of a sinful life. You see, the sinner and the offender or the criminal, whatever you want to call it, the prostitute, oh, you can call them many names and you can label them whatever you can, the most horrific names you can label them. When that person come to the cross, it's the end of a sinful life. And something new that God do from within will be manifested. Not sinless, not perfect, restored. And I can walk away restored, forgiven. And my past, there's nothing there. Can you remember we read the other day that when you look back at your past, misery and destruction is followed their ways. That is what Romans 3 says. There's nothing there. Now my eyes are focused on Jesus, the beginner, the author and the beginner. Yeah, the author, the beginner and the finisher of my faith. That he seek me and bring me like Zacchaeus at the place where God can find him. And you are at the place where God can find you. The end of a sinful life. You're going to let him wait longer? You're going to let him pass? Oh, there was a woman with 12 years of the issue of blood. She was so desperate. It is enough, Lord. I tried the doctors and I tried this and I tried that cure and I tried this, you know, and all these boererate and this and that, and nothing helps. The only help and the only remedy is Jesus. I need to touch him. I'm going to press on, push. Pray until something happens. She not just pray, she push in. And something did happen. What about us? You're tired of your life? There's only one that can change that life. It's Jesus. Let him walk into it. The Bible says, I think, man, if it was me, I would fall out of that tree. Maybe break a leg or two. But quickly, come immediately, come. I can't wait to have a relationship with you. He's so excited to have it with us, and we are not even, and I talk in general, not even so excited that he called me to walk with him. There's something wrong. The heart. And you see, crime do pay. Sin do pay. It hardens your heart the next time. And the next time, it's harder. Until there come a time when you cry unto God, and it might be too late. Let us pray. Thank you for Zacchaeus' life, Lord. I can remember many years ago as he was in that particular force, Lord. And that one particular morning as I stand there, and a gun go off. And that round of that 9mm plunge into the ground right in front of my feet. I should have been alive. And that was in the state of my, can I call it, backsliding state. A colored man asked me, how far can I backslide without hearing the voice of God?
Lord, I asked him, can you hear it? He said, no. I said, you are too far. That's why you can't hear it. And you used that day, the message maybe, to draw him back to you. Lord, may those who hear me and hear your word, not me per se, but your word, may they hear your voice through human lips. All they need to have is human ears to listen. That when that sinner comes to the foot of the cross, like Zacchaeus, like the prodigal son, it will be the end of a sinful life. On the road to restoration and transformation that starts within. Confirm this in our hearts, Lord. Help us not to postpone, procrastinate. You said today, if you hear my voice today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.